Welcome to the Bridging the Divide podcast. Each week, we'll explore the key factors that have contributed to today's economic divide, hear from experts and changemakers, and offer practical insights for aspiring entrepreneurs who are ready to break down barriers and inspire others. Join me as we navigate the challenges and opportunities for closing the economic gap, one conversation at a time. And welcome back. The Bridging the Divide podcast. I'm your host, Rolando Bonilla. You know, first of all, let me begin again by saying thank you. The response you've all given me, the feedback from show to show has been incredible, has been uplifting. And it's just a reminder of just really how much folks out there are in need and want of good, basic, no buzzwords type information regarding how to start a business. So, you know, again, thank you so much. It means the world to me. And kind of in that spirit, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is I'm already getting a lot of questions behind the scenes. So what I wanted to do is devote a program to your questions and what you're thinking, because at the end of the day, this is for you. As I've said from the very beginning, I'm simply your partner on your journey as you work to make your dreams come true, change your family trajectory, give yourself the best chance to, you know, one day look back and sit there with pride and recognize the amazing accomplishment you made of turning your business into a reality. So in that, I'm going to take a moment here to answer questions, respond to them. And I also want to say, this is my experience, my point of view. Right? We're all different. We're all in different settings. We're all in different experiences. And these are just intended to be idea sparkers, right? The things to get your synapses exploding and thinking about things and how to apply them in your life. So you may not always hear the answer you want, but it's really intended more for the conversation and for you to think about how to look at the world differently in order to make those adjustments in your life to get some movement going on your business. So I'm going to go right into the first question. And I love this question because it's one we hear all the time. You know, there are constant debates on it on social media, experts, all of the above. So I'll give you my take on it. And the first question is it possible to have work-life balance while starting a business? And that's a great question. So, you know, I equate business, and candidly, I equate anything we do to going to the gym. If I want to have a six-pack, if I want to have some defined muscles, there has to be, number one, a level of discipline, right? I have to create a system for myself that requires that I eat well, that requires that I go to the gym, you know, once or twice a day, 6 to 7 days a week, because my goal is to have that six-pack body, you know, and those ripped muscles. And for those of you that know me, you know, six-pack is not where I'm at, but maybe we'll see sometime in the future. But point is, you can't get there without a full commitment to that end goal, right? You can't, you know, go to the gym once a week, go to McDonald's 4 times a week, and then sit back and wonder why it's not happening for you, right? The same applies to business. The more hours, the more time, whether it be in acquiring knowledge, you know, like listening to this podcast, whether it be in, you know, building relationships to establish a network of whether it be knowledge or financing, your business, in my experience and what I've seen through my peers and others, has been that if you're not investing the time at a, back to the work-life balance example, at a disproportionate level where you clearly don't have that balance, then the reality is that you're farther from your goal and you're farther from the ability to really build things out and get the necessary momentum that you need to move your company forward, right? I can't tell you how many times I run into folks who say to me, but Rolando, I'm just, you know, I don't want to give up my youth. I think it's so important for me to travel. I think it's so important for me to have experiences. Yeah, I mean, those things are important. But when you are trying to start a company where, let's assume in most instances, you don't have financing, it's just you and yourself and maybe a couple of close people to you, The reality is that those are now luxuries you cannot afford to take, right? So you can't really get into this debate of I have to take these trips, I have to have these experiences, and then sit there and wonder why your business is not growing. Well, the answer is simple. It's not growing because the time, energy, and resources you have to grow your company are being invested in, you know, things that matter to you, like the traveling, like the dinners, like the, you know, hanging out with friends. Again, nothing wrong with that, but it's just not compatible when you're trying to start a company. You know, sure, you'll have those chances later on, but I'll give you an example. I've been in business, 15 years? And the reality of it is I am still the same hungry guy from when I was 16 years old, 15, 16 years old. And for me, you know, are there more trips that I can take? 100%. Are there more life experiences that I should take? 100%. But is that where I'm at? No, because I love what I do so much that I don't envision myself giving up the investment of time, the investment of energy, the investment of resources to continue growing the companies, because that's what motivates me, right? That's what gets me going. But I also recognize that because I've made that choice, some of the other things that, you know, other friends of mine get to do, like the trips and the fun dinners and, you know, the extended weekends, are just things that I can't really do, right? So do I do them? Yeah, of course, from time to time. Are they my priority? Absolutely not. You know, does that make me a bad person for not wanting them? No. Does that make me a person that's not well-balanced? To be honest with you, I am well-balanced. I'm doing exactly what I want to do. I'm doing the things that make me happy. And at the end of the day, that to me is the answer for getting that success that you want and need in your company. Because if you're not investing your time, your energy, and resources and accepting that the idea of work-life balance, particularly at the beginning of your company, just does not exist, then that in itself is going to be a massive problem for you. It's just not compatible, right? I recently heard someone say, you know, you can't, in your 20s, you can't have fun and then expect for your 30s and your 40s to be good from an economic standpoint, because the reality is that's the time you should invest spending your time and resources to grow your base of knowledge, to grow your network, and to grow your idea. So my personal experience, my response to that is there is no work-life balance when you start a company. I'm 15 years in and I still feel like a startup. I still invest a disproportionate amount of time into the company, into networking, in terms of, you know, knowledge base growth, in terms of capital, in terms of new ideas. That is still my number one priority, my number one obsession. And candidly, when I talk to other business owners, whether it be in the tech sector, whether it be sports agency, whether it be venture capital, right? The constant theme I hear from them as well is this is what they do. This is what they love to do. This is what they love to do. Immerse themselves into more than anything else. So to answer the question, great question, I do not believe that in the beginning of a company, the idea of work-life balance is compatible with the actual growth and birth of, well, actually birth and growth of your company. It's just not going to work for you. So that's a great question. Like I said, it's one I hear all the time. And it's one that I know impacts a lot of folks. The second question is just as good. You know, here it goes. I'm heavily in debt as a result of my business idea. After 4 years, I still do not have any real traction. What should I do? Well, 4 years is a long time. And I think the real question to this question that I'm asking myself is, you know, have you taken the time to actually understand what it is that's happening or not happening to put you in a position to, quote here, not give you the traction that you believe your business should have at this point? Do you understand your market? Do you understand how your market is responding to your product or your experience that you're providing. Do you understand? Is it a messaging issue? Are people not understanding what you're trying to convey? To me, this really tells me more than anything else, after 4 years, that there hasn't really been a deep analysis of the movement of whether it be your product or whether it be the customer experience at your restaurant. You need to constantly assess and determine what's working and what's not, right? One of the things when I played sports was, you know, it's very easy to pay attention to your losses. What did I do wrong? You know, what happened here? You know, why was the ball dropped? Why was the, you know, the player there versus here? But it's equally important to pay attention to what is working, right? Because you have to ask yourself, is it working because I got lucky? Because that happens. Is it working because I'm doing things right? And if it is working because I'm doing things right, what are those things that I'm doing right? What is it about those elements that I can now incorporate into other parts of the company, particularly the parts that I feel aren't working to the levels that I believe they should be working within this company? So to me, this question just tells me if you haven't gotten traction, I interpret that as a level of profitability after 4 years. The easier thing to say to you would be, then it's clearly time to, as they say constantly here in the Silicon Valley, you need to pivot. Yes, but before you pivot, you need to understand what it is you're pivoting from and where you're pivoting to. Because to simply make an adjustment of I'm pivoting, instead of selling, you know, burritos, we're now selling salads. Okay, fine, that's a pivot, but you still haven't answered the fundamental questions of why you're in this position in the first place. Because if you're not taking a look at that data, if you're not analyzing it, right, if you're not trying to figure out what it means, then even in your pivot, you're going to have the same no result because you're not understanding what it is that is happening to your company. So that's a big one, right? So yes, more than likely, you're going to have to make some big adjustments. But I believe those adjustments begin with understanding what it is about what it is, what your product or your service or your restaurant isn't working, why it isn't working, and then making the determination of whether those are things you can overcome with the resources you have. Or if, give you an example, if it's a restaurant and you determine pretty quickly that the reason your restaurant's not working out is because there's zero foot traffic in your location, wouldn't you want to know that, right? Wouldn't you want to know that the real issue is that your restaurant can't sell? Maybe you change your concept to more of a model where we're more of a delivery model. You know, call us for this and we'll drop it off. Maybe you realize that the foot traffic you do have is less conducive for a restaurant, but maybe it's more conducive for a gym, right? So again, we hear a lot about data and data, and the thing is you can drown in data. The key is to understand the data the baseline data that helps you understand what it is going wrong in the first place. Is it your market? Is it your messaging? Is it your product? It's a hard one, a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Is it your product? What about your product? Pretty fundamental questions that candidly you should be asking yourself every single day. If you don't know the answers to those questions every single day, that in itself is part of the problem, right? You're not doing the analytical part. You're enamored by the business part, but you're not understanding that you have to analyze each day what went right, what went wrong, what could have been better, what could I live without? Because that ongoing conversation is what's going to put you in the best position to make that adjustment. So, you know, make those adjustments, analyze your data, and honestly, do it fast, because 4 years of personal debt is a big commitment. You don't want to continue that debt and not have anything to show for it. So I wish you the best of luck, but definitely analyze your data and analyze those questions before you make any type of decision, because you know, want to make those decisions based on some good concrete facts. All right, so that takes me to a third question. The third question, you know, you hear it a lot. Nowadays, you know, this idea of a side hustle, right? You know, everyone's got a side hustle nowadays, which is great, right? You know, we all have a lot of that entrepreneurial spirit. You know, when I was growing up, it was called we just needed more money to pay the bills. Now it's called a side hustle. I think side hustle is a lot cooler. But you know, it is a big topic nowadays. And the question I get is, you know, how do I convert my side hustle into my main hustle? Wow, that's a great question. Very similar to the work-life balance question I addressed earlier. You have to change your mindset on your side hustle. You have to treat it as your main hustle. Now, you may have a full-time job. I understand that. But if you treat it as a side hustle, then you're always going to invest side hustle energy into it. Whereas if you treat it as a main hustle, you're always going to have it very top of mind. You're going to work harder to create opportunities for it to thrive. You're going to spend your day thinking strategically about how to make it better versus thinking about it as something you'll deal with after 5 o'clock, right? And that little, back to adjustments, right? That little adjustment, that little recognition that your side hustle that I want to be my main hustle is now something I'm going to treat as my main hustle, even though from a financial standpoint, you're not there yet, is going to be, in my experience, the difference between you turning it into a main hustle or turning it into a perpetual side hustle, or eventually a side hustle that just really evaporates and nothing comes of it. So in my experience, yes, it's difficult. You have a 9-to-5, you may have kids, you may be dealing with other issues, but if you want to turn that side hustle into a full-blown business, then you have to treat it that way, right? You can't say, oh, I'm going to treat it as a side hustle and I'll be a business person on Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night. That's a pretty guaranteed recipe for lack of growth, right? Whereas if you come in every morning and say to yourself, look, I'm going to do my 9-to-5, but for example, before work, I'm going to spend 45 minutes just thinking about the business. At lunchtime, I'm going to, you know, spend that time on the phone with possible prospects or trying to get meetings with people that are more well-versed on the subject matter that I'm, you know, building a business in. And then after work, of course, I could invest another 3 hours. Think about that. We just created 5 hours of investment into your side hustle in one day. Multiply that by five, that's 25 hours a week of investment into your side hustle. Logically, similar to the going to the gym example, if I invest 25 hours a week eating well and working out, it is clear I'm going to have better results than if I invested 2 hours a week going to the gym and ate, you know, fast food 2 to 3 times a week. I shouldn't be surprised that I'm not getting results in that scenario, whereas in the first scenario where I'm investing 25 hours a week that I've carved out of my 9-to-5 day, and you know, shouldn't be surprised that at the end of that week and at the end of that month, my side hustle is going to be so much better, right? So much stronger, so much closer to being that full-time hustle. So again, these concepts are very much all aligned, right? You have to create that time. You have to devote yourself to it. You have to put a map together, you know, put it in writing. I always tell folks, pen to paper, pen to paper, pen to paper. If you're not establishing goals and you're not pursuing those goals and holding yourself accountable to them, then at the end of the day, you know, you're not going to see any growth because you've got nothing to measure against. You know, one of the things as I'm, you know, trying to get back to being healthy in terms of my own eating and my own working out, I have an Apple Watch now. And one of the things I love about it is that I'm able to track my steps. I'm able to track my time standing up, my workouts. Same concept with your business, your side hustle. You have to put that pen to paper to really evaluate each day and compare against each day to determine if you're doing enough, if you're doing the right things to get you to that place where you have some growth. So in my mind, in my experience, and that I've seen of others, including my company, which to an extent was the genesis out of a side as a side hustle, I would say to you, you really have to mentally treat it differently. If you treat it as your main hustle, that's exactly what it will become. If you treat it as your side hustle, that's also what it'll stay. And not only will it stay there, you actually run the risk of it just completely disappearing. So again, quick takeaway from this is you have to change your thinking. You have to change from side hustle mentality to actually full-time, full hustle mentality. Yes, I know you're working. That's why it's a side hustle. But as we just demonstrated, there are ways to carve time out of your day. And this goes back to work-life balance. If you want it bad enough, if you really actually want it, then you're going to make that investment. I know growing up, a lot of us, you know, have run into tons of folks who, I know for me, it was, oh, I'm going to buy this club and I'm going to, you know, buy this restaurant and, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Then when you ask the question of, so how are you going to do it? You'd get this kind of deer in the headlights look. Yeah, don't do that. Because that is a 100% guaranteed way to turn your side hustle, your business into one that's not successful, because it does require time, investment of time, energy, resources. It does require a disproportionate amount of investment of your time and energy. But again, if you love it, which is why you should be doing this in the first place, if you love it, then like me, I don't feel like I work. I can work 7 days a week. It doesn't bother me. It's something I enjoy, something that I love. And I love the idea that the more I put in, the more likelihood of being able to build what I'm building and where I want to be. So these are all great questions. I want to definitely do this more often than not. I do think it's important to hear from you and to answer your questions. And really, that's the ethos of this podcast, to be your partner and be your friend. So let's keep working. Let's keep grinding. Let's do the things that are necessary to be successful. And let's bridge the divide together. Thank you for joining. Thanks for listening to the Bridging the Divide podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review, share with a friend, and give us a follow on all of our platforms. Special thanks to you for taking the time to listen today.